Bwana asifiwe sana. Let me hear all the Ravens fans. Wow. You know, I was just fearing that just a few minutes ago. And I am just afraid that we have to compete with the Ravens. You know, I don't know. Maybe we need another prayer. We do. But we want them to do well, don't we? I thank God for all of you and for the work that you have continued to do over the years that we have been in this fellowship. We are celebrating our 15th year this year. Oh yeah, there you can celebrate. And I can assure you that those 15 years have not been easy since we began in 1998. One of the things that the Lord has continuously taught me is to remain humble and to remain vigilant and to watch Him move from one level to another. And God has been faithful. He has never disappointed. David said that since I was a young man and now I am old and I have never seen the Lord forsake His righteous. And today I would say that since we began, when we began we were a few people, we grew and we developed into a great multitude. And I can assure you that over those years God has never disappointed. He has forever been faithful. Praise the name of Jesus. And many people have served in this ministry since we began. And many have stayed on. Others have moved on to other places. Many have begun their ministries. We have seen ministries starting. Because since before our fellowship, I did not know any church that was pastored by a Kenyan. And just about the same time, Pastor Lydian started pastoring during that time when we were beginning. And from here, pastors have come, sat on these pews, heard the word of God, get reignited, and go start a church from right here. Praise the name of Jesus. And I can assure you that almost 90% of every ministry that have begun in this place have originated from right here. And that is not a small thing. Praise the name of Jesus. You should give yourself a hand because of that. And one thing that we have determined to do is to make sure that every time we are serving, no matter what ministry comes up, we will be support, we will be prayer partners, we'll be encouragers, we will be there. And I know for sure that many of you, you have been there to support, to encourage. Every church that has begun in this area, every ministry that has begun in this area, you have been there, you have supported. You are a member of that church. You are a member of that ministry. And that has not taken away the flavor from this ministry. Actually, it has added to the flavor. Praise the name of Jesus. And that is what gives me joy. To know that we are not like those Pharisees that Jesus spoke about. And He was saying, "Woe unto you, you Pharisees. For you cross the seas to proselytize, so that you may win only one soul and then make them worse. You make them worse than yourselves or than the devil himself." And there are many people who hold people so that they do not share and they do not work in the ministry. And I have refused to do that. Praise the name of Jesus. I say that I own nobody. I own nothing. What I own is my salvation and my relationship with my God. That's all. Praise the name of Jesus. So you want to serve? Serve anywhere. As long as you would serve in the presence of the Lord. I want us to open the word of God into the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 15. And I'm going to read from verse 14. 2 Corinthians. And I will be very, very, very fast because I want us to finish on time. It says, "But thanks be to God, who always leads us in triumphant procession in Christ and through us spreads everywhere the fragrance of knowledge of him. For we are to God the aroma of Christ among those who are being saved and those who are perishing. To the one, we are the smell of death. To the other, the fragrance of life. And who is equal to such a task? Our focus mostly is on verse 15. For we are to God the aroma of Christ among those who are being saved and among those who are perishing. The Lord spoke to us this year, and he told us that one thing that he would like us to focus on is our personal purity and cleanliness before God. Praise the name of Jesus. Because it has come a time when groups and herd mentality has been brought into the church. And the people of God, they are able to move to do ministry because many are going. But for the personal relationship with God, it is highly lacking in so many ways. In fact, somebody said somewhere, sometime, and listen to this clearly. He said that when Jesus spoke and said that, look, behold, the fields are ripe with harvest, but the laborers are few. This brother came and said that actually today, the laborers are many. What is lacking, it is personal integrity of the laborers. It is personal qualification of a laborer. It is that, you know, personal relationship with God, with that laborer. Many people would go into any street and preach the word of God, but their personal testimony, you cannot tell. And I know for sure that it does not matter who speaks the word. Paul said that some will preach with good conscience. Others will preach for a good reason. Many will preach for different reasons. But the good thing is that Christ is being preached. Christ is being preached. But why should you be a signpost? Because a signpost tells people the direction, but it never goes. It will tell you that Baltimore City is this way, but it has never been there. It will never go there. Because it is stuck. You become a signpost leading people. Somebody was singing a song and he's saying, why, Lord, have you? And he was singing this in Kikuyu and he was saying, Lord, why is it that all these things that I'm facing and I'm going through, I have become like a pot that cooks but never eats? Do you understand what I'm saying? You become a signpost giving people direction. You cook and serve, but you yourself never feels. And God is saying that it is time for you now to start checking your own selves. Praise the name of Jesus. Anybody that does the ministry, you will grow weary. You will need repair. You will need maintenance. And if you do not take care of yourself by continuously coming into the presence of God, renewing yourself, getting yourself strong in the presence, that way you will never serve. For long. Buona sifesana. I want us to think about a few things. When you are thinking about the aroma, what comes out of your mind for the first time? Anybody? Aroma. See aroma? Huh? What? Come on, speak up. Smell. Perfume. What else? Marashi. Manukato. Okay? Those things that are smelling very nicely. You know, long ago when I was growing up, we knew that manukato is not for Christians. Marashi, those beautiful smelling perfume, Dior, Chanel. Those beautiful smelling, sweet smelling perfumes, those are not for Christians. And many times I would go because I was brought up in a church where you don't laugh in the church, you don't clap. If we sing and dance, we are told, get out, you know. And One time now when the guitar was brought into the church, whoa, that instrument that is causing havoc in our community and taking away young men into the world, the guitar is a demon. It wasn't allowed. If you put on yourself Abbey or Creaton, you have become a sinner who is destined for hell. So smelling nice was not churchianity. Come on, praise the name of Jesus. It was not allowed. And so you will go to a church and people are jumping the whole night and the whole day and they are dancing and there's dust blowing everywhere. And the whole of that place, I'm telling you, it is smelling godliness. You know, that putrid, sweaty, and you don't want to ride with brothers in the same car. And woe unto you if any one of them removes his shoes. Seriously. But again, in the church, we shouldn't smell nice. Do you know that many times the Bible has spoken strongly about the sense of smell than any other sense? About sight, about hearing, about feeling, about, all the five senses. Which are the five senses? Hearing, seeing, taste, and all that kind of. It has spoken more about the sense of smell. And many times we do not even think about the sense of smell. You think that probably if you lose, maybe if you are told to choose any sense that you would like to lose, most likely the one that you might want to lose mostly is the sense of smell. Because you don't want to lose your sight. You don't want to lose your hearing. You want them. You want to have that, to feel nice. But the sense of smell is really not one of those things that we think seriously about. But the Bible gives a lot of currency on the sense of smell. In fact, if you look in Deuteronomy chapter 4 and verse 28, God was speaking and he was telling the children of Israel that idols made from wood and stone, gods that neither see nor hear nor eat nor smell. He will not leave that behind. Because smelling, or the sense of smell, that is what draws you into something nice. It is what tells you that you have now passed through a slaughterhouse or a cheesecake factory. Praise the name of Jesus. It is what tells you that somebody's house, there is chapati that is being made, and probably I can make myself a guest there. Or that place, there is something that is happening on the side that I shouldn't even be interested with. So the sense of smell is very, very important to God. And God is so interested in how you smell. Come on, praise the name of Jesus. Look at the person next to you and tell them that be careful how you smell. But I did not tell you to give them a mint. Okay? Come on, praise the name of Jesus. Luke chapter 7 and verse 36 and through verse 38. The Bible is speaking about this woman who came to Jesus. And she knew that Jesus is visiting a woman, a Pharisee or a leader in their community. And she came with an alabaster box. We know about the alabaster box. And she started crying and, washing his feet with his tears and with her tears and her hair. And then she broke this alabaster box and poured the perfume on Jesus' feet. And Jesus said that because of her great love, her sins have been forgiven. You know, the way you come and present yourself to God in the manner that you will present yourself to him, that one determines how he will respond to you. Praise the name of Jesus. Because God is looking for somebody that is willing to break out that beautiful, nice smell. And the smell, I'm not only talking about this body smell. It is your attitude, your character, your state of mind, You are being there with him. Your way of worship, your way of presenting yourself, your kind of life, the things that you do on a daily basis, that will show worship to God. Praise the name of Jesus. And therefore today, we are talking about the aroma. Are you emitting a sweet aroma to God? Or you are emitting a foul stench? Praise the name of Jesus. When I was in high school, I was taught that there are two things. There's opulent, there's something that they used to call, I lost my thought again. When I come back to it, I'll tell you. But it's something to do with opulence, with being rich and being poor. Those words, they actually coincide, and they speak the same, they are the same words, but they speak differently. I'll come to it when I remember that. But I wanted us to think about for a moment. When you are in Nairobi City, and many of you probably, you may not have been there, you know very well that every estate that we may consider upscale estate, like a luxury estate, Muthaiga, what is next to Muthaiga? Which slum? Mathare, Korogosho, and all those, right? What is next to Loresho? Loresho? Kangemi, right? Kivira, Kawangware, all those places. And every place that you go, on this side there is opulence, on this side there is stench. If you go there and you look the way the people who are living on the stench side and the people that are living on the affluent side, oh, this is the word that I was looking for, affluence and effluence, okay? When you are talking about affluent, you're talking about the people who are well up, right? You're living rich and beautiful and nice. Effluence is something flowing, sticky, yucky, something smelling, sewage. That is effluence. And so you are on this side, affluence, and this side, effluence. And God is asking you now, for you as a person, as you serve him, are you emitting effluence or affluence? Are you a person that is able to give God that beautiful smell that will attract him to you? I want us to look at number one, the first way we can bring a sweet aroma to God. And then we are going to go on to three things. Number one, the first way we can be able to give a sweet aroma to God is one, repentance and cleansing from sin. Praise the name of Jesus. Repentance. We no longer talk about repentance. We no longer talk about cleansing. We no longer talk about people repenting of their sins. We just say that, you know, you are okay the way you are. Come just the way you are. Yes, we want you to come. But when you come, you must know that you cannot remain the way you are. Come on, praise the name of Jesus. You come so that you may be changed. You may be transformed. You may become a better person than you are. You are not coming so that you can become a contagion to the community or to the church. You are coming here so that you may be transformed and become a better person that honors and brings honor and glory to God. And God is saying that the way you can produce that sweet aroma is one, being able to repent and to cleanse yourself from sin. Because unholiness is a stench in the nostrils of God. In the book of Genesis chapter 19 and verse 13, the Lord was speaking to Lot through using these three angels. And this is what the angels told Lot. For we will destroy the city completely. The stench of the place has reached the Lord and he has sent us to destroy it. The putrid smell from this city of Sodom and Gomorrah, it has reached a level of intolerance that God cannot stand it anymore. And he felt that this is the time now I'm going to destroy. You know, the problem is that many of us, we think that because, and we were talking about this a few days ago, that we think, as the book of Hosea says, that we think that God, although we say, yeah, we know that God is long-suffering, he is slow to anger, and he is very quick, you know, with mercy. It is true he is, but there is a level that God cannot allow. Praise the name of Jesus. You can only go this far. He will come. And when he comes, he cleans out very well. Praise the name of Jesus. Have you invited those ladies who clean? They're called the maids. What are they? There are some maids. Merry maids. They clean as they dance and sing and, you know, feeling good. And then at the end of the day, you look at that house, it's sparkling clean. And even you wonder whether really anything was left in your house because of the way it has well arranged and nice. God comes and rearranges things. He comes and cleans out everything, and you are left bare and naked. But I want to tell you that God is still God, is a merciful God. Amen? If only you are able to come to him and bring your sins to him, he is willing and he is ready. The second thing about repentance is that genuine repentance is a sweet fragrance in the nostrils of God. First, unholiness is a stench in the nostrils of God. But genuine repentance is a sweet fragrance in the nostrils of God. God, when he was complaining about the children of Israel in the book of Isaiah 43 and verse 24, and this is what he was saying: you have not brought me fragrance, incense, or pleased me with the fat from the sacrifices. Instead, you have burdened and wearied me with your sins, and you have wearied me with your faults. God is saying that this is not a time for you to continue carousing and living your life anyhowly. Many people have really, they have actually distanced themselves from God, and they do not know. How would you know that you are now living the presence of God? When you see the things that are attracting you, things that are calling your name, and the things that you are responding to. Praise the name of Jesus. You know, many times, and I'm not saying this, you know, we never used to go to movies. I told you where I was brought up. If you go to a movie, the next thing is that if you are known, you know, we will pray hell come upon you. It was really bad. You can't go to a movie. But again, then, you see, the safeguard itself was such that those things would not be attractive to you. We get attracted so well by the earthly things, by the Ravens games. And as soon as the Ravens game are over, we go to the movie. But there was a kesha. There was a time. There was a prayer on Friday night, but nobody showed. We are very quick to be attracted by the things of the world, but we are not very fast in responding to God. He says that genuine repentance is a sweet fragrance in the nostrils of God. You know, when people are sinning, they are separated from the presence of God. And God has, after you sin, he has put a mechanism for us so that we be able to be brought back. You know the mechanism that they used to have in the Old Testament? It was sacrificing of animals and bringing, you know, burnt offering to God. In Exodus chapter 29 and verse 41 through 43, you will see how they were offering. Actually, the Bible is saying that offer the other lamb in the evening along with the same offering of the flour and wine in the morning. It will be a fragrant offering unto the Lord, an offering made by fire. This is to be daily burnt offering given from generation to generation. Offer it unto the Lord, the Lord's presence, at the tabernacle entrance, where I will meet you and speak with you. I will meet with the people of Israel, and the tabernacle will be sanctified by the glorious presence. Because every day's activities, everything that you go through, your daily grinds, you go to work, you wake up in the morning, you go to work, you do the things that you do, or you go to school, or whatever it is, or in the evening, and then you meet with all these people, you're driving on the 695, somebody cuts you off and calls your name or gives you a finger or something like that. They do that to me many times. And your mind now starts getting, you know, this wild thing. I want to cut him off as well. Right there, your mind now starts getting messed up. And you continue, if you continue on that with the whole day, trying to do things or outdo or outwit or outmaneuver, or you know, you are all the time given to upmanship, then your mind at the end of the day is all messed up. And this is the same thing that used to happen. Because the body is the Bible tells us that the body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, isn't it? And we know for sure that during that time when God lived in their temples, it was necessary for the children of Israel to cleanse the temple every day because of the activities of the people. Praise the name of Jesus. And so this time it was necessary for them to come and give an offering every day, because sin is a stench that separates the people from God. And every time there is a stench, the presence of God leaves. The temple is no longer the temple of the Lord. It is a building that has been left with the people there crying and trying to reconnect with God. But God is saying that we no longer have to do that, by the way. Praise the name of Jesus. That is a good thing. We don't have to do that. We don't have to sacrifice. I thank God because he saved me a lot of money just by the death of Jesus Christ. Come on, praise Jesus. Because if I sin today, I go to, I don't know, where do they buy? I go to Pennsylvania and I buy a goat or I buy a lamb and I bring and I slaughter and I offer a burnt offering for my sin. And then I realize, whoa, I have my wife. She also has her own sins. I go get another one and offer for her. I have children. I offer another one for her. And then at the end of this, every year, you know what we would be doing? We would come here and bring that goat that they use called Azazel. The goat, the little goat, and then we'll put it here, and then we'll curse it with all the curses of this fellowship and all the things that have been done, the evil that people have thought about, all the sins that they have committed. Anybody that has committed an immoral sin, we curse that little goat with it. Anybody that has thought evil about somebody else, we curse the goat with it. Anybody that have fought with another person and is holding a grudge, and that one, we curse the goat with it. And then we release it onto 695 and tell it, go. And now that way it takes away our sins, right? Whoa. I don't know what would happen. Maybe that's why the wild animals during that time, they were really wild. Because they eat this very, very, very abominable goat that has been cursed with all the sins of Israel. And then you eat that, you become sin itself. Hallelujah. Praise the name of Jesus. So the temple becomes purified by their sacrifices. And therefore God really, when he made that mechanism, it is no longer necessary for us. What is necessary for us? For us, God has put the mechanism. It is very simple and easy. All he needs us to do is to come and confess our sins and then repent of them. Praise the name of Jesus. Once you repent your sins, once you confess, and you know many times we know how to confess our sins. God, forgive me for all the sins that I have sinned from morning to evening. And then you think that's it. But you really know exactly what you did. You cannot name them. And God is saying, name them name by name. Sio zile ati, zile ambayo mi najua na zile ambayo sijui. It is the things that you know, confess to God. Praise the name of Jesus. Tell him. That is going to bring out a fragrance of sweet savor to God. Beautiful smell to the presence of God. And God will come and be able to fellowship with you. When the sin comes into any group of people, what does the Bible say about the nations? That righteousness is what? But sin? Amen. Every nation that invites sin welcomes sins, allows sin. And that's the reason why we are struggling even in the land of Kenya. Because we know how to cover sin. Oh, our favorite verse, love covers a multitude of sins. And so, I will bring Uhuru here, and Ruto, and Raila, and Kibaki, and everybody, and I tell them that, you know, God has anointed you. It doesn't matter what they have done. You anoint them and send them to go and infect the people. And you expect the land to be healed. Really? Isn't that where we fail most of the time? Let me tell you, the devil is a cunning devil. And he will come. And when, by the way, I used those as examples. I wasn't saying that they are devil incarnate. That's not what I was saying. I was just saying that that's what we do. But God is saying that the multitude of sin that you're talking about is not your love. It is because of God's love himself. He sees, and when you confess his love towards you, come on, praise the name of Jesus. Do you remember what we started with? This lady came, and she came with a lot of love for Christ, and she poured everything that she had. That perfume was very expensive. That is what she used to nail or attract men. That was a business tool for her. That was her life investment. That is what, that was like putting money in a stock exchange. And that is where every livelihood was coming from. But now this time she says that, I don't care. I'm going to lay it before to this man whom has loved me and has taken away all my sins. When you love God, then that love, you come before him, he will forgive you. Praise the name of Jesus. He will be willing and ready. Secondly, let me move on, because I have only, I have only 15 minutes. This is what it says. Secondly, the second way we can be sweet aroma to God is through a pure heart. Pure heart. Why? Because when we have that self-righteousness, you remember what I was talking to you about the church? Where we, you know, and I remember a story that was told by a pastor who had come to visit this area, and he was saying, he's the president of a Christian organization, or rather a Christian university. And he invited the way parents come to the college, you know, to the parents' day or the orientation day. And this parent comes, and she was there in the chapel. And the students were leading in the worship and the preaching and everything, before the parents. And the parents were really impressed. It was beautiful. It was nice. Many were crying. This is a wonderful college. We are bringing our children to this. They will learn to, you know, they will not be challenged by all these things that are happening in the other colleges and all that. Right there, this parent was seated. There was a young man whom she thought was out of place. And if he wasn't out of place, then this college is completely messed up. And so she walked out and went to the president's office and says that, you know, I was so ready to bring my child into this college, but now I have decided I'm not going to let him enroll in this college. I said, well, he said, well, that's your choice, but do you mind if I ask why? He said, how can you call this a Christian college? And right there where I was seated, right in front of me, was this young man with an earring. A man with an earring. And that really took her away from the presence or the things that were happening there, beautiful and glorious things. And judged the whole college by the earring. And maybe even this was not a student there. Probably he had come to visit like any other parent. And this lady left. You have seen people who their only hairstyle. Can I use your hairstyle? And I'm not saying there is anything wrong with this. Gym style, all right? Like this, you pull it, your hair so backward so hard that it is very hard for you to close your eyes. That's the only hairstyle. If you do a different kind of variation, there is a problem with you. And you know, many times we would think Like I said, if you have malachi or you have a very nice smelling, you have turato toga, we used to call those the high heels, right? If you see any lady coming to church walking like this, let me tell you, right there, you have a very good example of a sinner headed to hell. Do you know the problem? Actually, Gandhi said this one time. He said that, I love their Christ. What I don't like is their Christians. And I listened recently to Winans when he was conducting This lady who died the other day, Winfrey. What is her other name? Whitney Houston. Yeah, Whitney Houston. What did he say? He said that a Muslim came to Christ. And when he came to Christ, he said, wow, I wish I met Christ before I met Christians. Because they are so bad examples. We do not portray Christ, the true Christ, in the true Christ way. And God hates self-righteousness. Come on, praise the name of Jesus. That is another bad smell before God. Actually, it is there in the word. Let me read you for Isaiah 65 and verse 2. Isaiah 65 verse 2. This is what it says. I opened my arms to my own people all day long, but they have rebelled. They follow their own evil paths and their thoughts. All day long they insult me to my face, worshipping idols in their sacred gardens. They burn incense on the rooftops of their homes. At night they go out among the graves and secret places to worship evil spirits. They also eat pork. Whoa, I see you. Oh yeah, you are, you know, you can't wait to get out of here and go and jump on that baby back rib over there. Highly barbecued. You eat pork and other forbidden foods. Yet, they say to each other, don't come too close or you will defile me. I am holier than you. And then, do you know what God is saying? It says, he says, they are a stench in my nostrils, an acrid smell that never goes away. What? Self-righteousness. You are holier than everyone else. God says, you are a stench, an acrid smell that lingers and never goes away. I pray that we are not like that. Buona sifia sana. By the way, I didn't say you don't eat pork chops. Go ahead, have your fill, and enjoy. I'm not going to get into all the things that I wanted to say. I want to go to number three. The third way we can be a sweet aroma to God is through a worthy sacrifice. That's the third way. Because useless rituals is a stench in the nostrils of God. Come on, praise God. Because, you know, sometimes we know how to come and do the worship. We know how to come and lift up our hands before God. We know how to read our Bible from cover to cover. Every year, that is my goal. I gotta read the whole Bible from Genesis to Revelation. You do it. And somebody actually had told us he reads 7 times. I said, wow! Ooh, whoa! You read 7 times. When we come to worship, you know at what time to lift up your hands and at what length. You know when to say amen when a great point has been hit, like this one. Let me hear. Amen. You know how all these things are beautiful. You know when to give your tithes. You give them very religiously. And Ignatius is so happy that you are able to give all your offerings so well and so faithfully. But when you do these things without a change of heart, if your heart still remains in a state that it cannot relate with God. No matter what you do, it does not matter. Come on, praise Jesus. And therefore, I want to encourage you, my sister and my brother. You spend your time in the Kesha. Great, we will do that. You spend your time preaching in the streets. It is wonderful. You spend your time pouring through the scriptures. Jesus told the Pharisees, you search through the scriptures, crying to God all the time, trying to connect with God. But you cannot come to me that you may get life. And these scriptures talk about me. Do you see how contradictory that is? That we are ignoring Christ, but we spend time looking through the word so that we be able to connect with him. And he says, all you need is to offer yourself. Come on, praise the name of Jesus. Isaiah 1, verse 10, verse 15. Brother Stanley, when I have only 5 minutes before 7, tell me to stop. Isaiah 1, verse 10 through 15, he says, listen to the Lord, you leaders of Israel. Listen to the law of our God, people of Israel. You act just like the rulers and the people of Sodom and Gomorrah. I am sick of your sacrifices, says the Lord. Don't bring them anymore. Don't bring me any more burnt offerings. I don't want the fat from your rams or other animals. I don't want to see the blood from your offerings and of bulls and rams and goats. Why do you keep parading through my courts with your worthless sacrifices? The incense you bring me is a stench in my nostrils. Your celebrations of the new moon and the Sabbath day and your special days for fasting, even your most pious meetings, are all sinful and false. I want nothing more to do with them. I hate all your festivals and sacrifices. I cannot stand the sight of them. From now on, when you lift up your hands in prayer, I will refuse to look. Even though you offer many prayers, I will not listen. For your hands are covered with the blood of your innocent victims. Wow. Do you see what I was saying before? We were asking each other on Friday, during Friday prayers, why is it that we are praying every day for Kenya and our leaders? But every time we pray, it looks like it is sinking deeper into the abyss. Why is it that things are not changing? People are crying in Kenya. We pray every day. They tell us, pray. They pray. We pray. They pray. We pray. And then all the time we find ourselves coming to try to rectify a situation and hold back our nation together so that it will not break into the seams. Why is it that things are not becoming better? And we are spending our time in prayer. We are praying so hard. Our knees are worn out for praying for that land. I'm not saying we stop, but there is something that we are probably not doing. And God is saying that you must find it. Praise the name of Jesus. He says that if you lift up your hands, I'm not even going to look. I'm tired of it. And so I want to encourage us. Let's find the time. Let's find the moment where we can connect with God to bring that sweet aroma to him by worshiping him with a pure heart. Praise the name of Jesus. Because useless rituals is a stench to God. And finally, he says that genuine sacrifice is a sweet smelling savor to God. That one you see in Psalms 51, 16 and 7 through 17. He says, you would not be pleased with sacrifices, all I would bring them. If I brought you burnt offering, you would not accept them. The sacrifice you want is a broken spirit. Is a broken and contrite spirit. A broken and a repentant heart. Oh God, you will not despise. Come on, praise the name of Jesus. That is what God is looking for. He's not looking at all these sacrifices, the things that we do and good things that we do, God is not interested in adding ritualistic sacrifices to a rebellious and a hardened heart. No. God wants the heart to be repentant. Praise the name of Jesus. He wants a heart that is willing to yield to him. Because when a heart is repentant, when the heart is right with God, that sacrifice rises to God as a sweet-smelling savor. It is a scent. It is not the scent of the animals that was drawing God to the people. No. It is what was in that sacrifice. The presence, the people's presence with God. The people giving themselves to God. It does not matter how many bulls you bring to God. It does not matter how many goats you bring to God. It does not matter how many partridges and doves you bring to God. It does not matter how many tithes and offerings you bring to God. It does not matter how many prayers you offer to God. If all these are not coming from a repentant heart, they will be useless. You will have wasted your goods for nothing. And all of them, God will not even listen. But when you have that heart that is pure, you are praying, you are Bible reading, you are worship, you are attending the fellowships, you are preaching, your tithes and offerings and everything else, they will be acceptable before God. And he will not despise those things. That is what the word is saying. Praise the name of Jesus. The last verse, the last scripture that I would like to read, and then we are going to stand up and pray. This is it. Romans 12, 1 through 2. And you know this very well. Romans 12, 1 and 2. You know this very well by heart. It says that, and I'm going to paraphrase, actually. I loved this translation. And this is what it says. And so, dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your bodies to God. This is the one that says, give yourselves to God as living sacrifices, holy and acceptable before him. This translation says, and so, dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your bodies to God. Let them be a living and holy sacrifice, the kind he will accept. When you think of what he has done for you, is this too much to ask? Don't copy the behavior and customs of this world. There it is. What draws you? What? Do you know, they used to say that an object responds to the stimuli. Is it an object? Right? And say, for example, a plant will respond to what? There are scientists here. To the light, right? And so, whatever draws you, that's what it says. Do not copy the behavior and the customs of this world. Don't be a yeoman. But let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. This is the renewal of your mind. Then you will know what God wants you to do. That which means that is to know the good and perfect will of God. And you will know how good and pleasing and the perfect his will really is. God is not interested in rituals, like I said before. And God is not interested in what you do. God is interested in you. Praise the name of Jesus. He doesn't want your actions. He wants you to offer yourself as a sacrifice to him. He wants you to give yourself to living a holy life. This self-sacrifice will rise as a sweet-smelling savor to God. Only then can all the activities you engage in also rise as sweet-smelling savor. Until your entire life is an act of worship, rising to God's throne, everything else will not matter. My fellow brethren, God is calling us. And he is insisting with a very, 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 very concerned voice. Would you offer to me this year a sweet aroma? Something that is acceptable to me. So that the things that you do throughout the year, God will be there to receive them as a sacrifice. Are you willing to see yourself moving from one glory to another? Offer yourself to God. Do you want to see God moving your business from one level to the next? Offer yourself to God. Do you want your ministry to grow and become that ministry that changes and transforms lives? Don't go for the one that will be reaching tens and millions of people when you cannot even reach five. God is saying, this is the time. This is the moment. We need to give ourselves in a way that God will accept. I want us to stand up for a moment. As we close this, my prayer to you for you tonight is that God is going to cause you from now on to not just do things for Him, but to be the sacrifice that He desires. Praise the name of Jesus.